Well, good morning, everybody. I hope you're doing well. It's good to see you, and we particularly delight this morning because we have the opportunity to enjoy our Rally Day time. Now, for those of you who might be new to our church, Rally Day is a old tradition here at Second, and that is this is the day where we officially promote our young people in the various Sunday school classes that they're involved in. So this is the beginning of the Sunday school calendar for the church. We've gone through a year. We've done our summer with the Puritan studies, and now we're preparing for a new year of Sunday school. As we begin this year, before we promote our kids and send them out to enjoy their new Sunday school classes, we're going to have Miss Cindy Player come forward, and she's going to do a presentation on Good News Club, the work that's going on there, how that can be supported by our congregation, and the work that's done there. So if Cindy, thank you.
In 2001, the Supreme Court ruled that Good News Clubs can meet in public schools after school hours on the same terms as other community organizations. For 13 years, Second Presbyterian Church has sponsored a Good News Club at Augusta Circle Elementary School, and for several years, we've done the same at the Croc Center. Thank you for your prayers and support in the endeavors to reach children for Christ through this program. There are many ways our congregation to serve. Countless prayers have been answered, so please continue to pray for open doors, for the gospel to be presented clearly, for the Holy Spirit to change hearts, and for volunteers to staff the clubs. Particularly, I would ask you to pray for more students to attend the club at Augusta Circle. In a school of over 500 students, most years we've had around 25 children attend. At the Croc Center, all of the children who attend the after-school program there will attend club on Friday afternoons, all 120. Obviously, the needs there are different. We still need volunteers to help in that club. It meets from 2:30 to 4 o'clock on Fridays. Pray that we will have enough people to meet the needs there. You can be trained for any job that you're willing to do. Pray for the teachers and grade shepherds who will spend valuable time getting to know the children and the staff at both clubs. Pray for the children to have attentive minds and hearts. We particularly need to follow up with families of children who make professions of faith and are not involved in a Bible-believing church. Late last spring, we were asked to participate in a backpack blessing program in Augusta Circle. There are approximately 7 or 8 children there, mostly in special needs classes, who for a variety of reasons need nourishing food for weekends. We are currently collecting food items for that, and there's more information about that in the West End Herald this week. Please feel free to call me if you have any questions that I can answer, if I can direct you in a better way to serve in this very valuable organization. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy, so much for telling us about the ministry of the Good News Club, and also thank you so much for your leadership that you've shown for this over the years. This really is a vital and important ministry in bringing the gospel into the public school context and after school time, and so if you're looking for some way to serve in the church, we heartily recommend the Good News Club as a wonderful way for you to be able to serve the Lord, particularly for reaching out with the gospel to children. Now we come to the portion of Rally Day where we officially promote our young people and announce the new Sunday school classes for the upcoming year. Most of our teachers today are in the hall, with the exception of the first two, the 2 and 3-year-olds. They're in the nursery already hard at work, and so we'll recognize them. But if you're in the building and you're one of the Sunday school teachers, if you would raise your hand so that everybody be able to see who will be teaching the kids this year, we would appreciate it. We'd like to mention with special appreciation our nursery Sunday school teachers who are already hard at work. For 2-year-olds, Miss Carissa Spell will be teaching them, and this is the first time she'll be teaching. For the three-year-olds, Doug and Susan McDaniel will be teaching, and so we want to express our appreciation to them for laboring with particularly our youngest of children in the nursery. For our primary age teachers, the divisions are this. For K-4 and K-5, Miss Cindy Player will be our teacher this year. For first and second grade, Miss Cindy Mann will be the teacher. For third and fourth grade, our new intern and his wife, Mr. Steve and Sarah Spinnenweber, will be our teachers. For fifth and sixth grade, Matt Griffin will be teaching, and both Steve and Matt are new teachers to our lineup. We want to thank you so much for your care and love for our Covenant children and being willing to teach Sunday school. We might also mention that 7th and 8th grade, who will be staying in here for the rest of the program, will continue to be taught by Caleb and Ethan over there in the corner Sunday school room. They'll be co-teaching that this year. And so, kids, you have been officially promoted for the new school year to your new Sunday school classes. We will now dismiss you, and as you are dismissed, we will sing the opening and closing lines of Onward, Christian Soldier, hymn 572. Let's stand as we sing and the kids are dismissed. Please be seated. For the remainder of our Rally Day program, we're actually going to have some time where we recognize all the adult Sunday school classes and give the teachers a time to come up and give you just a brief five-minute introduction to what it is that they'll be teaching and going through this upcoming semester and year. But before we do that, we have a special privilege this morning. As some of you know, we have some associations with the Gideon's Association. Now, what exactly are the Gideons? They describe themselves as a body of believers dedicated to making the Word of God available to everyone, and together with the local church, reaching souls for Christ. The Gideons began at the very turn of the last century, at the turn of the 19th century, around 1908. They're a wonderful organization that gives out Bibles anywhere that they can put them, sending them around the world. I believe the statistics are that they have given out more than 2 billion scriptures in more than 95 languages in over 200 countries. And so this morning, to give you a bit of a feel for the ministry of the Gideons, we would like for their representative, Mr. Scott Wienert, to come forward and to give us a 10-minute presentation on this. And after our services today, we'll be taking up an offering for the Gideons. And so, Scott, if you would come forward and tell us more about the ministry of the Gideons.
Several years ago, a Russian helicopter was carrying two government officials to the Siberian Peninsula. They were carrying relief aid to needy locals. As they were on their flight, they sorted through all the cargo, and they understood why the needy locals could use the canned foods and boxed foods, but they didn't really understand the need for all the boxes full of books. So they began throwing the boxes full of Gideon Bibles out the window. On that same day, a hungry Nimitz fisherman, one of those needy locals, went in search of food. He prayed to God, any God that would answer, asking him for a sign. Not long after that, the one true living God answered, and a Bible fell from the sky and landed near him. He picked up the Bible, and he went back into town, exclaiming, I've found a sign. Today, or as of the last report, he's part of a church where there are now 30 Nimitz Christians. It was a miracle of God that that Bible fell from the sky next to that Nimitz fisherman. But it was acts of obedience that allowed that miracle to happen. It was Christians and church members like you and I that gave money for those Bibles to be printed and distributed. It was Gideons who took their faith to place those Bibles into those boxes, not knowing where they might land. And then it was other Christians who had a heart for the Nimitz people, who were praying for them, that God would reach them, and that his word would find fertile soil. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Who are the Gideons? Like he said, we're a body of believers who just want to make God known throughout the world through his word. We want to get his word to anybody and everybody that we can. With over 300,000 members in over 200 countries, territories, and possessions, we're one of the largest missionary organizations in the world. And since the Gideons that serve, live, and work in the areas in which they serve, we're able to reach into areas that traditional missionaries can't reach. 2/3 of our camps are located overseas in places like Siberia and China and Africa, places that are hard to get into. What do? Plain and simple, we distribute God's word anywhere and everywhere we can, anywhere there's an open door. We distribute over 1.5 million copies of God's word in 99 different languages every week all over the world. We place them into the rooms of hotels and hospitals, like many of you are probably familiar with. That's only 2% of what we do. We also place them into the hands of military servicemen and women, students, nurses, inmates, the homeless, and anyone else that will receive them. Why do we do what we do? Because this world is hurting. It needs Jesus Christ. It needs the Word of God. And every day, people are dying and going to hell, without even having the possibility to hear about Jesus Christ. So we give out God's word thousands of times a day, every day. And for many people, this will be their first contact with the word of the true and living God. As we're told in Romans 10:14, how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? So we place Bibles into the hands or paths of people that need them. People like Stanley, the naval seaman, who was handed a Bible in boot camp. Thought nothing of it, threw it into his bag. Several years later, he's in a submarine off the coast of the Atlantic, 1,000 feet under the surface of the ocean. His life was falling apart. His marriage was in shambles. He remembered that New Testament he threw into his bag. He pulled it out, read it, and gave his life to Jesus Christ. Or how about Kylan Hunt, a businessman turned convict? He had apparently wronged one too many people. He was on his way to the penitentiary. He was chained between two inmates, convicted murderers. And as he checked in, he got into a cell, and he saw on the bed a single solitary Gideon Bible. He prayed to God. He asked for peace. He asked for an answer of what was going on in his life. God led him to the story of David and Bathsheba. then led him to the part where Nathan confronts him with the story of the rich man who stole the land from the poor man. And then he led him to the part where David said, "Who committed this great evil?" And Nathan said, "You are that man." Kylan realized he could hide no longer. He realized he was a sinner and gave his life to Jesus Christ. There's Leroy Kennedy, a strung-out homeless man in a park in Toronto, Canada, who was approached by Gideons on a Saturday morning who were out distributing Gideon Bibles. And one Gideon went up to him and witnessed to him, showed him John 3:16, and walked him through Romans to show him that we're all sinners and that we all need Jesus Christ. And that man gave his life to Jesus Christ. No longer homeless, no longer addicted to drugs, and most importantly, no longer lost. That's why we do what we do. So why am I here? Since 1908, over 2 billion scriptures have been distributed. And that success is due to the high level of partnership between the Gideons and the local church, both here and abroad. An associational meeting was held in Iowa, and it was motioned that all the churches in the association should provide for the funds for the Gideons to place a Bible in every hotel room. And that partnership with the local church has continued until this day, which brings me to you all. When I found out I was going to be speaking here, curiosity just took me to your website to see what y'all were all about. And I went to the Who Are We section. And at the very top, it's a little welcome paragraph. And then the first bullet point under the Who Are We says, "We love the Bible." It says, "We are unashamedly committed to the Bible, believing the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be the inerrant and infallible and our only rule for faith and practice." And it's obvious that it's not just lip service, because I went through the rest of your website, and Scott and the other pastor were preaching through the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, because y'all know the power of the Bible. You know the lives that it can change, and you know the life that it can give. So I'm asking for your help in three different ways. First and foremost is your prayers. Prayers that new doors will open for the distribution of God's word, and prayers that past doors will continue to stay open. Let me give you an example. Fort Jackson, there's a distribution every year where the Gideons go and they distribute New Testaments to new recruits. Well, in June, that door was shut. We weren't allowed to go in. But through prayers of the Gideons and our friends that have been praying for us, that door was slowly but surely opened back up. And we're going to be able to get in there and distribute Bibles to the new recruits. I also ask for your financial gifts. And if you're like me, you like to know where your money's going when you give. You want to know what it's actually going for. For every dollar and 25 cents that you give for the Gideons, you provide for the purchase and placement of a New Testament somewhere throughout the world. You'd have a hard time buying a New Testament here in Greenville, South Carolina, and sending it across town to Greer for that price. For $5, you can pay for one of the Bibles that goes into a hotel room or motel or hospital room. And it has the potential to reach 2,300 people. One way you can give is through our Gideon Card program. You can give in someone's name or in their honor. And the money given for that card goes to buy Bibles and place them around the world. And last but not least, your time. Every Gideon is an active and faithful member at their local church. The Gideons are made up of the local church. We're not a separate organization. We're a part of the church. And maybe there's someone in here who God's been laying on your heart that there's some sort of ministry out there for you, and you have a passion for God's word and making him known by having his word distributed. It took a Gideon to place that Bible into that prison cell for Kylan Hunt to stumble upon. It took a Gideon to place those Bibles into those boxes that were thrown out the window. And it took a Gideon to place the Bible that eventually find its way into the hands of a young boy named Ron Archer. Ron was conceived to a 16-year-old call girl. She was urged to have several abortions. All failed. Against all odds, she gave birth to Ron Archer. His battle wasn't over. He was born without a pancreas, underdeveloped lungs, and several other physical deformities. He was unwanted, and he nearly died from pneumonia. Throughout his childhood, as he grew up, he regularly experienced his mother being beaten, and he himself was regularly beating him. He was diagnosed with many learning disabilities, and he was a severe stutterer. By the age of 10, he wanted to die, and he tried, but he failed. Enter his fourth grade teacher, Miss Spears. She volunteered to be his speech coach to help him with his stuttering. And as part of his therapy, he was given a Bible. His assignment was to read that Bible every single night into a tape recorder. That Bible, he later found out, was a Gideon Bible that was borrowed out of a hotel room. This was the very first time in his short life that he had ever held a Bible. And he never put it down. For the next year, he read it every single day for the whole year. These are his words. He says, "I began to understand from the reading of that Gideon Bible that God uses those who have been wounded very deeply. I began to understand that life can be a mess, but with his help, it can become a message. And it did in the life of Ron Archer. Since then, he became student body president, a scholar, and a young pastor. With that same Gideon Bible, he held it and he kept it. He led his mother, sister, grandmother, grandfather, and other relatives to Christ through the church that he pastored. With that same Gideon Bible, he has planted churches, preached revivals, hosted television programs, and advised world leaders. Hundreds of thousands have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ because of that one Bible. That is why we do what we do, but we need your help. We need the help of the body of Christ. It has been said, if you want to plant something that will last a year, plant a flower. If you want to plant something that will last a lifetime, plant a tree. If you want to plant something that will last an eternity, plant the gospel." Scott.
Thank you so much, Scott, for bringing to us the word on what the Gideons are doing. The Gideons are a very special ministry. I know to me in particular, when I was a young boy, I can't even remember how young I was, my mother taught me to recite the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer, and she did so using a Gideon Bible that was given to us. I can't even remember how, so there's no telling how many lives have been touched by the ministry of the Gideons. Thank you. Keep these things in mind, as at the very end of our Sunday school hour, we'll be taking up an offering in order to support the work of the Gideons. But now we will move to giving an opportunity for each of our adult Sunday school classes to give you a preview of what they're talking about. If you're wondering what's going on in the different Sunday school classes, each of our adult Sunday school teachers will have about 5 minutes to come up and give you a short presentation on what it is that they'll be studying. If you want further information, you can look at our Truth for Life little leaflet that we have handed out. There is just one slight editorial correction. It says that the senior high class is meeting in Sunday School Room 308. That's the room right across from my office on the third floor. And it says that the College in 20s class will be meeting in the Scout Hut. That's actually flipped. High school will be meeting out in the Scout Hut, the new youth room, and the College in 20s class will be meeting right across from my office. So we just wanted to make you aware of that. And so now we'll give a time for each of the teachers to come up and give us a preview. We'll first ask Mr. Nathan Sasser to come up and tell us what he'll be teaching and offering for the College in 20s group. Nathan?
Well, the College in 20s age class for the past year has been working through the Doctrine of God. And the Doctrine of God, I mean here, broadly construed as what gets covered in chapters 2 through 5 of the Westminster Confession of Faith. So what we take up here are the existence and the attributes of God, incommunicable and communicable, the doctrine of the Trinity, then the doctrine of the decree, that is God's predestinating plan for all things, the doctrine of creation, that includes angels, so that's exciting as well, and the doctrine of providence and miracles. So for over the past year, we covered the existence of God and his incommunicable attributes and most of the communicable attributes. So this year, we'll be finishing up the communicable attributes and then Trinity, decree, creation, providence, and miracle. Now, the theme verse for this class, for myself, is John 17:3, where the Lord Jesus says, "Praise to the Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life consists in knowing God, the great portion and inheritance that we have in eternal life is to behold God as he is in his greatness and his glory. And so that's our first goal for this class, is to see, behold God as he is in all of his exalted majesty in the face of Christ. It also has important implications for the whole structure of our personal theology. Abraham Kuyper said that really what distinguishes Reformed theology from every other kind is that it gives God first place in the way it thinks about everything. And furthermore, there's always there's an apologetic dimension as well to our study of the doctrine of God. The doctrine of God, this part of theology, is one of those areas where that involves a good deal of philosophical reflection upon the teaching of the Scriptures. As always, the Scriptures are starting place, but it requires philosophical reflection. And that comes to form a very important foundation for our worldview, because the foundation of a Christian worldview and of a Calvinistic worldview is the creator-creature distinction. And consistently what we're looking at and examining from many different angles in this class is the creator-creature distinction and getting that straight. And frankly, this is an area where not even all of the people in our own circles are doing a great job these days keeping that clear. So we want to make sure we give the doctrine of God special, careful attention for our own joy and edification and for our the construction of a consistent Christian worldview. Thanks.
Thank you, Nathan. And let me also note that that's our only adult class that's specifically targeted for those who are in the college and 20s age group. And so if you're in that age group and you're interested in not only having excellent teaching, but also having a good time of fellowship and getting to know people in that age group in our church, we highly recommend that to you. Now we'll have Mr. Kevin Mobley come forward, and he'll talk to us about what's going on this year in the Acts Sunday School class.
All right, so the Acts class, at least this fall, is going to be studying a book written by Pastor Terry Johnson of Independent Presbyterian Church in Savannah. The title of the book is When Grace Comes Home, and the subtitle is How the Doctrines of Grace Change Your Life, and indeed they do. This is a book that I read years ago when it was first published, and it really made a very real difference in not only helping me understand Reformed theology, but also helping me understand how to apply it to my daily life. You and I both live in a day and age where most people don't give a lot of attention to theology and to the proper study of doctrine and biblical doctrine. This is very telling in many of the polls. One of the polls I was reading this week found that in terms of looking at modern evangelicals, 84% of modern evangelicals embrace the idea that in salvation, God helps those who help themselves. 77% of that same poll believe that human beings are basically good and people go to heaven no matter what their belief is about Jesus. And more than half surveyed affirmed that self-fulfillment was their first priority. And so the lack of theology and the lack of studying Scripture by the modern evangelical has led to these kind of numbers. And that's why we want to study theology, and we want to study God's Word and what he wrote in it and get to know him better. You and I have heard people talk about theology, I'm sure, and there's at least three reasons why people may give for not wanting to study theology. One of those is, I don't want to study theology because it's not practical. Often people think of theology as some dry, dusty academic exercise, which really has no relevance to practical Christian living. This book will show us quite the opposite. Secondly, people may say theology and doctrine are not really important. I just want to know Jesus. And we do want to know Jesus, but in order to know him, we need to understand how he's presented in the gospel and what God's word says about him. Theology is simply the systematic study of what God has revealed. It's a technical term for the careful and systematic study of the word of God, which is what we're responsible for knowing. We're to know the word of God, and we're to be able to apply it to our lives, and that's part of what this class is going to be about. The third reason people may give for not wanting to study theology is that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Well, that really fits into today's culture, right? The enemy of the culture today is one who will stand for truth and one who will declare absolute truth based on the authority of God's word. And so we're going to, in a very careful way, study Scripture and how it applies to our lives. You know, we're called as Christians to be theologians. We're called to study God's Word. One of my spiritual mothers many, many years ago, probably 18, 19 years ago now, said that theology will affect every decision you make in life. And I've gotten a little bit older, and I've thought through those through the years. I've never forgotten those words, and I realize just how very true those words are. 1 Timothy 4:6 says, "If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed." You see, our view of ourselves, but then even more importantly, too, our view of God is going to affect every decision we make in life. It's going to affect how we live our life today. It's going to affect how we live our lives tomorrow. This will be the focus of our study throughout the book. We'll be reading and expositing Scripture, and we'll be looking at three primary doctrines, that of the sovereignty of God, the depravity of man, and sovereign grace. And then specifically, how Reformed theology shapes our understanding of worship, humility, prayer, adversity, our witness, sanctification, among many other topics. My goal for the class is to look very practically at the doctrines of grace and then be able to apply them to our lives. But it's also our goal to encourage fellowship in the class, and we'll have opportunities to do so throughout each week. We want people to be unified, and we want others to be able to get to know other people in this covenant body, that we might be able to grow together in grace. So if you want to learn more about Reformed theology, why it matters, and how to apply it, come join us next week.
Thank you very much, Kevin, for introducing us to what you'll be doing in the Acts Sunday School class, which will be meeting in room C209. Now we'll ask Dr. McGoldrick if he will come forward and give us an introduction to what's going to be going on in the Chapel Sunday School class this year.
The Chapel Bible class will initiate a study entitled The Attributes of God. The Attributes of God is the title of this little book I'm holding in my hand, and this book will be available to everyone who comes to class beginning next Sunday. It's a work by Arthur W. Pink, and it deals with the characteristics of God. Our catechism tells us that God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. I'm almost out of breath saying that. But that's not the end of the story. That's only the beginning. There are far more attributes of God taught to us in the Scripture than the Catechism mentions specifically in that question and answer. The tragedy of our era is that so many people who make a strong Christian profession have a very superficial knowledge of God. God himself is the first fundamental. Of everything else we believe, God comes first. And we ought to be able to recite what we believe about God and do so in a biblical manner and a convincing manner. And so we'll deal with subjects such as the knowledge of God, the foreknowledge of God, sovereignty of God, holiness of God, power of God, goodness of God, on and on, right through even the wrath of God. And then the closing chapter is the contemplation of God. Christians ought to be what was said about John Calvin, God-intoxicated people, God-intoxicated people. That's what people said about Calvin. Let that be said about us as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. McGoldrick. Now we will have Mr. Kirby Key come forward and tell us about what's going on in the fellowship class.
Good morning. The Fellowship Sunday School class has the great privilege this year of engaging in a study of the New Testament. a survey of the New Testament, and we'll look at all 27 books. We'll begin next week by looking at the New Testament as a whole and how it relates to the Old Testament and how it is the fulfillment of God's Old Testament promises. The following weeks, we'll begin looking at each one of the individual books. We'll look at its authorship, its purpose, the theme of each book, and especially how that book fits into the overall plan of redemption. One of the exercises that we'll do is to determine the one verse or perhaps a short passage from each book that best exemplifies the content and the purpose of that book. It'll help us to remember what we've studied, and I think it'll help us to use what we study as well. Now, there's also one single verse that best exemplifies the New Testament as a whole. We'll talk about that next week. That verse will be our theme verse for the entire year. We'll come back to it over and over again. It'll sort of keep us on track as we go through our study of the New Testament. Here's a hint of that verse. It's not found in the New Testament. The verse that best exemplifies what the New Testament is about, the verse that best exemplifies its purpose, is an Old Testament verse. Now, if you're wondering what that verse is, then come to the class next week and I'll tell you. Class meets downstairs in the conference room located just off the gym, sort of halfway in between the gym and the courtyard. As any serious study of God's Word will do, this study will change our lives. We will see God at work in history, in the pages of the New Testament, fulfilling His promises made in the Old Testament to His people. We have a great and a good and a faithful God, don't we? I look forward to having you in the class. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kirby. I'll be teaching next week, so I won't be able to be there, but some of you who are there need to tell me what that verse is. I'm curious. And finally, we'll have Mr. Jason Coral come and tell us what's going on in the Westminster class with his study of Intro to Apologetics.
Good morning, everyone. Well, these are great classes, aren't they? This is a wonderful church. Well, I'm going to be teaching apologetics. I think I wore Mel down because every time he gave me Corinthians and then he gave me James, and somehow I kept lapsing into apologetics, so I think they finally said, okay, just teach apologetics. We're going to be using a lot of R.C. Sproul's Defending Your Faith, and I think that the two things that I'm very prayerful that we can get across in this class that the Lord blesses us is, one, that apologetics isn't about getting out and arguing with people. Now, certainly not that, but that we want to come in here and we want to be enriched. We want to glorify God. We want to worship God. We want to learn about God. But if the world has beaten us into submission and thinking that this is something that's irrational, that's not ultimately true, we're going to have kind of a wounded puppy faith. I give you a quick testimony. I was saved at 13 years old in front of the TV, Billy Graham Crusade. It's on TV. And I was walking through the room and the TV was on in my rec room downstairs in my basement. Which is always way too cold, incidentally. But I heard him say that I was a sinner, and if I died without Christ, I was going to go to hell. And the Holy Spirit was there, and I was instantly convicted. The first time I heard the gospel, I was completely, completely sincere in my conversion. And I was 13 years old, and I was in the Northeast, and it was very difficult to find a good church. I didn't know what I didn't know, right? I didn't know what I didn't know. And then I went to college, and that was the same time in New York as the Jesus Seminar. How can there be a loving God when there's tragedy, when children die, when people get cancer, when loved ones go? How can there be a loving God when a tsunami wipes people off the planet? How can there be a loving God? He's either not real or he's real and he's impotent. So that affects your faith. That really affected my faith, and it was very difficult. So I kind of internalized that, and I know a lot of other people who did. She didn't have answers for it. And the answers are so easy, and that's one of the things we can get into in the apologetics class. So it's really defending the faith about knowing that God is real. God is not asking us to believe something that's absurd or fanciful. And that emboldens us, and it gives us joy and peace in the spirit. And furthermore, again, I think that all of us, whether ourselves or the younger people or parents of children that are getting those messages constantly, or grandparents that you're seeing your kids getting those messages constantly from the world, it's wonderful to be able to give them an answer for the hope we have within us, in Peter 3:15, and be able to destroy the strongholds of the enemy, because he's coming after us lock, stock, and barrel with arguments from the world of all of the isms, secular humanism, scientism, materialism, it could be Buddhism, Islam, whatever the case is, but all of these arguments, all of these false truths are attacking the Christian faith from the outside in. So I think that gives us a great sense of peace and joy to know that what we're serving in Lord God is true, ultimately true. And it's not just the best of competing theories, as we'll see the Reformed faith applied to apologetics, but it's the only one that makes any sense at all of the whole world. So it's like this. We're not going to give you like 10,000 little facts to have to memorize. If you're worried about it, I can't hold all of that in my head. It's not like we're going to say, okay, ready? 903 divided by 3 is 301. Repeat. And then if somebody asks you, well, what's 907 divided by 8? And you don't have the formula, you're going to be perplexed. Applying the sovereignty of God and applying the true Reformed position on apologetics to this field will give you the formula of it. So you'll have peace in your own heart. I think that's the first big thing we'll have to be faithful witnesses. And of course, the second thing is if we can tear down one stronghold, like with the Gideon Bibles, and we can tear down one stronghold, we can impact one person that's lost, that would die without Christ because he's been fed a lie by the enemy, by the world, and it weakens his hold on his Christian faith or keeps him from it. Well, I'm not going to go do that because that's just a bunch of, you know, fanciful thinking or what have you. So I think there's two levels. And the one, hopefully, we'll be able to use this class to embolden us to know what we believe is really true. And two, that we will be able to answer objections from people when they see us, hopefully when they see how wonderful our lives are and how much the Lord and the Spirit, how Spirit-filled we are. And they ask for a reason for that hope, but we can articulate it. And when they hit us with objections, and they're all over the place, then we have an answer for those objections that are godly and biblical. So I can't wait to get started, and my 5 minutes are almost up. I'm telling you. You guys know me. I'm a little long-winded, so I apologize. But, we'll be in that class right across from the balcony. So, and when we get started, I hope to see you there. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason, and to all of our adult Sunday school teachers. I mean, it is really exciting to see this kind of lineup, and the problem is picking which one to go to. There are so many good options to go with. At this time, we'll go ahead and kip, and the ushers will come forward and take a collection for the Gideons. And while they're doing that, just let me give you a brief encouragement to do Sunday school, and afterwards we'll close in a word of prayer. So as they're going ahead and taking up the offering, let me just encourage you, if you're not regularly involved in the Sunday school ministry of the church, that this is a wonderful time to get involved with this. I think there's at least two reasons for this. One, because in Sunday school you get an opportunity to study things that we won't necessarily be able to in the worship service. There are wonderful things like apologetics, like doing surveys of entire books of the Old Testament, that the way we do our worship service, it just wouldn't really work. We don't study topical things like church history, and so you'll have an opportunity to deepen and enrich your faith by being able to study things that don't normally fall within the purview of our worship service. And second, the style of learning in Sunday school is very helpful. It's very good for us to have our formal worship of the Lord where we come in, we hear the preaching of the word, but if there's something that that I say or that Pastor Phillips says and you don't quite understand what we're saying, you can't just raise your hand in the middle of the sermon and get a question asked. Though I did have a someone I knew who was a Pakistani preacher, and when he came and preached, they have a very interactive style of worship service. And so if the pastor was talking about a shorter catechism question, he's like, wait, you, what is the answer to this question? And would get people from the audience. So it was just, in many ways, a terrifying experience because you never knew what he was going to ask. And his English wasn't that great, and so there were just all levels of confusion at times. But we don't get to do that sort of interactive teaching in the worship service, but you have the opportunity to do so in a small group setting in Sunday school. And finally, for fellowship, Kevin mentioned that, you know, one of the things in his school, and I think this is true about all Sunday schools, is this is where you get plugged in to second. You know, we come and there's a sea of people for the 11 o'clock service, but in Sunday school you get to meet smaller sections of the congregation and deepen your ties with them. So for all those reasons, I would highly encourage you to get involved with Sunday school this year if you're not. So with that being said, let's close down our time in a time of prayer and then prepare for the worship service to come. Let us pray. We come before you, O Lord our God, and even this morning as we have heard brief introductions to the Sunday schools and a brief and wonderful introduction to the Gideons, we are reminded of how majestic and holy your work of the gospel ministry is in this world. From stories about conversions all over the world to the different facets of your attributes, your existence, your being, are many things that we have the opportunity to share the faith with others, the richness of the Bible. All of these things testify that you are the God who does all things well, and you are wondrous and glorious. And we pray that as we go through this Sunday school year, that you would indeed bless us, that as we come to worship, as we come to Sunday school, we would indeed have a higher, greater, and holier view of you in our minds because of what we study. And we want to pray in particular this morning for the ministry of the Gideons. We thank you for their ability to go into over 200 different countries and places in the world. We ask that you would bless them. We pray that you would indeed keep the doors open, particularly in our increasingly secular Western culture. We pray that you would keep providing them opportunities to share the gospel by planting God's word. We pray that you might open new avenues for them. We pray that the funds collected today might indeed go to putting your eternal and powerful word in the hands of those who do not know you, so that they might come to faith through the hearing and the reading of your word. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thank you. We are dismissed.